promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Friday, September 7th.
Thank God it's Friday.
Yes, it's been a short week, actually.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
because we were off Monday.
Yeah, you're right.
And time just seemed to fly, man.
Kind of did.
I'll take the weekend. What the hell, man?
Yeah. I'm kind of excited for it myself.
Yeah. Good morning. Welcome to the show. And I'm thankful you're here because you told me you barely slept last night.
Yeah.
What happened?
I'm living off coffee all week long. Like, it's been such a crazy week. You know, and then when you live off coffee, you can't sleep at night.
Mm.
So it's just been this awful, you know, game,
yeah.
I guess. And then last night I went out, I had to, for the fashion night out, which was really great.
Was it nice?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was planning, I couldn't go last night, but I'm planning to go next month.
Oh,
I definitely want to
well,
catch
it's
that.
Different. This.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, last month, I mean, right last night was the kids, every year they do this.
Mm.
So it's once a year, all the streets shut down, and it's festivals everywhere, and DJs everywhere, and open bar, and every store has their own open bar, their own DJ, their own catering company, and it's sick. It's amazing. There's like thousands of people out. There's all kinds of like gymnastic acts with painted people. I mean, that was crazy. It was amazing though.
Wow. So you had fun.
Yeah, the Sporty LA thing is totally different. That's more of an art show.
All right.
That's once a month. It's different.
Okay, so I got confused. It's like two different events.
Yeah, and you should have gone because the fashion night out was incredible. It was so amazing. I mean, it was like, it was awesome. I had a freaking blast. I met some amazing people. You know, but then it comes to a point when I'm really tired, I kind of start to doze off. Like, I don't care where I am. I will literally, like, fall asleep. Like, you could be talking to me and I have no idea what you're saying.
Wow.
I'm just, when I'm tired, I'm tired. Yeah. Like, I don't care.
Right.
And then I become mean if you start, like, first I become very mean. And I'm like, whatever, I don't care. And I'm a bitch. And then all of a sudden, I have no idea what's happening. And I'm literally falling asleep on you as you're talking to me, standing up.
Wow. What time did that happen about when you were dozing off?
I think that was like 11:30. I was just so tired.
So why didn't you go home?
Because I had people that I was making sure they were doing their jobs. So couldn't. And eventually, I just was like, all right, I'm out. I don't really care about anything else but sleep. So then I went home, and then,
So you got home late, and you went to sleep late.
Yeah, I got home late, and then I was, I talked on the phone for a minute, and then I had to change a flight for somebody, and and then I couldn't sleep, and then I was like, I don't know what to do, and so I took it was an organic sleeping pill that sometimes works, sometimes doesn't. I was just like, I need to do something. I'm so tired, and I can't sleep, because, you know, like, you're so exhausted, and you've like fall asleep, but like your heart rate's still pretty high because of the coffee. So that's why I was like, all right, I need to take this. So I did, and then I almost didn't wake up. And
yeah, those things are dangerous, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, they last a long time, those sleeping pills.
And honestly, like, if we didn't have a guest today, I would have been like, I would have probably, like, well, I'm glad the phone rang and rang and rang. So that's good. That got me up. But
so
I was a zombie, and I was like, I don't know how I'm going to drive at this point.
Wow.
So you're lucky.
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah. I'm very grateful you're here because we're going to have one of my favorite artists. Her name is Susanna Hoffs, and she was the lead singer of the Bangles. Actually, she still is. They still perform.
Where?
And I don't know. I was looking, and I think they're like in... they're going to be in Florida or something, but I know Susanna is like touring the country. I think she was in Europe too.
Oh.
So,
I mean, they have new songs?
She has new songs. Yeah. She's got a new album and stuff.
So it's not the Bangles anymore, right?
Well, like I said, they are. She has a solo career and with them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are they all still alive? I mean.
Of course, yeah. They're a group from the 80s. Like Walk Like an Egyptian was released in 86. I mean, she's like, she looks beautiful. She looks like she's in her 30s. She's 53 years old.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She's amazing. Well, look her up and see. You can see her picture and stuff.
I don't care that much.
No.
I really don't
care. Well, I did. I went after them, you know.
Yeah,
so.
I don't care. But,
not an interview that came to us, you know. I had to go after it. But yeah, what would you know? You're a girl.
I just don't care. Yeah. I mean, I did like the song back in the day. I used to jam to it.
Yeah.
I remember when MTV was popular. I was 8 when that song came out. So,
really?
I mean, I remember walking around and pretending to be an Egyptian.
Yeah.
I always was pretending to be an Egyptian, though. But, yeah, I mean, I used to love that song, and I would walk around and dance to it.
Mm.
And I remember watching the video on MTV, like, it was popular. That's the only song I know.
Manic Monday.
Oh, that's her?
Yeah, that's the group, yeah.
Oh,
then they had
that.
Eternal Flame, that ballad. I mean, I can play it for you, but, you know, it's, yeah, they've had a lot of hits.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think I remember Eternal Flame.
Walking Down the Street and...
I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
But I mean, a Manic Monday, I've definitely done karaoke too.
Yeah. Here, for those who haven't heard the Bangles, here's who we're talking about.
Okay, we're going to do one more. Yeah!
We'll just play a little bit of it. Okay, so you guys get the idea. I love this song, man. It's like such beat to it. And you know, when you watch the video, you have 4 hot chicks on the stage playing guitars, singing. I mean, that's a man's wet dream, you know? You have to understand.
Okay. All right.
You have to understand that, you know? I mean, it's not, it doesn't come easy for a man. So after we talk to her, I'll play one of her new songs. It's kind of like a different kind of...
Oh, it's different.
Yeah, she made it sort of like 60s type of music and stuff, so it's pretty pretty interesting. But, you know, obviously the old material is a lot more famous and stuff. Let me just play a little bit of one of her solo songs.
Okay.
It's really cool. I know you didn't like this one, but...
Awful.
Shut up.
So bad I'm taking my headphones off.
Oh, shut up, man. She's going to be on the show.
Sorry, I just can't stand
it. You know what? Okay,
I'm taking it. You know, it's old people music.
It's
That's
not.
Okay. Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you very much for that. What, you can't handle ballads and stuff like
disgusting.
That?
Oh, disgusting. Make me puke. Please, slice me with a knife. I'd rather get sliced.
Really? Please. So what's your type of music? What do you like?
I like all kinds of music, except for anything... slow, that sucks, like that.
Okay, so you don't like ballads and things like that, right?
I'd rather watch Animals Attack.
I see. Okay. Okay. So, Susanna, don't take it personally. She doesn't like any type of music like this. So
I don't
fine.
Want anything slow about you whining and crying over some person or your strawberry wine or you living in the country with, you know, I just don't care. I don't want to hear someone whining and crying. I have enough whining and crying in my life. Why do I want to hear more?
But ballads are not always about crying.
Most of the time.
Man,
they're crying about missing someone.
Besides,
they're
I don't listen to lyrics
dying.
Anyway. You know, give me the music. I don't care.
Well,
about
even
the
that it's slow, isn't it depressing? It's,
no,
it's like a downer.
There's some great
Debbie
songs.
Downer. What Debbie Downer.
Debbie Downer.
Yeah. Debbie Downer.
Okay, well, here I thought I got a big star. And,
no, I think she's great. I love Manic Monday. I love Walk Like Egyptian. That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, that's huge. She was like huge. I was a huge fan of hers back in the day. I was.
Right.
from those songs that I remember.
Right.
This stuff, the new, that's new. Mm-hmm. That doesn't sound new. That sounds like 60s. But,
okay.
Horribleness. But, no, her old stuff is, like, if it's fast and it's catchy and it's poppy, then I will listen to it. Yeah. I mean, but I like jazz.
Right.
You know, I really enjoy good jazz. I listen to the Spa Channel a lot.
Really?
I like...
What about country? Do you like country music?
Not normally.
Yeah.
Because I don't like whining and crying about, you know,
I know,
he did
that's
this
what the
and
songs
she did
are
this
about.
And slap someone around and, oh my God, my cow died. You know? Cowbell, everyone. Little cowbell. Like, I can't stand it.
Yeah.
Some of it, if it crosses over into little pop, I'm okay with. Now, if I'm country line dancing, that's a whole other story.
Really? You like that?
Yeah, but if it's slow, again... I'd rather watch elephants eat their dong. I don't know.
Stick something in your eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd rather watch, I don't know. I was going to go somewhere with that, but that was really disgusting.
So the Video Music Awards were on last night.
They were.
MTV. And I guess, you know, my biggest, I guess the group One Direction, have you heard of them? Those are like the little kids from England. They're the hottest thing in the world right now.
Yeah,
I
another
didn't
thing.
Even hear,
little kids, I don't give a shit about.
Exactly, but they're laughing all the way to the bank.
Good for them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's the thing. Little kid stuff and boy bands and all that do well because there's so many kids out there that listen to
Right, them. Girls, teenage girls.
I am not.
Crazy about.
Yeah, so good for them. They're making money, you know, great. Yeah. Justin Bieber, I will make fun of all the time, but I happen to like some of his music.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't even know it was him because he sounds a lot like a young Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
So I actually like some of it.
Wow.
Would I go and buy it? No. Never. But would I download it? Absolutely. It's free. Why not?
Yeah.
You know? I'm all about that.
I mean, do you like any music strongly enough that you would pay for it?
The only thing that I would pay for would be the Dirty Heads, Sublime. You know.
But you don't have to pay for anything today. There's Spotify, and that one has every fucking song you ever heard of.
Right, which is great, but except they have those damn commercials that are so annoying.
Right. You can pay $9 a month and do away with those.
Right, which
yeah,
I probably will.
But the commercials only come up every once in a while.
I can't,
you know?
Every four songs.
Okay.
Yeah,
so.
It drives me nuts. I can't do it. Because a lot of the time when I listen to Spotify, I'm listening to it for like aura or energy, like cool music to chill out, like veg to meditation.
Gotcha.
And when I'm trying to get in that zone and you're all of a sudden, oh my God, you should try Spotify. Like it's like zen. Oh my God, you should try Spotify. Da, 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 da. And like they're uppity and all up there. And I'm like, you just ruined my mojo, honestly. So then I got fed up and don't use it anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. I found it to be a small price to get the music and stuff. You know, I mean, they've got some music that you can't find anywhere.
But you know what? I have XM.
Yeah.
So XM radio is all of it.
Yeah, but you have to wait. I mean, they play the songs that they want. And then Spotify, you choose the songs.
True.
Yeah. But, you know, to each his own, what can I tell you?
Yeah. I mean, Spotify, if you're going to pay the $9 a month, that's all it is, then I would do it. Honestly, though, I have XM in my car and on my house. I have DirecTV and I have all those channels.
Right.
I used to have
but
Dish.
But SiriusXM costs money, too, right? You paying that?
But I have it in my car and I can take a little this thing anywhere I want and it plays. So I don't care. It's $17 a month.
Right.
But I can take like the station anywhere I want. Like I have it in my
car. Yeah, but you know what? That the when you pay the $9, you can take it on your phone too. You can have it on your phone.
Waste my battery. I don't want that. Why would I want that? How am I gonna talk on the phone? You know when there's Spotify on.
I guess you gotta have.
Yeah, no.
You've got some demands when it comes to music.
I want what I want.
Yeah.
When I want it.
I guess.
Damn it. Haven't you realized I'm pretty set in my ways?
Yeah, that's good. That's
good. It's my way or get the fuck away from me.
Yeah. That's usually how it happens, you know, as people grow older and stuff, you know. You just start demanding a lot more, I think. And
I've always been demanding.
Yeah.
But, you know, and actually somebody said that last week, like, why are you so demanding? It's like you're an only child, but you're not. And I'm like, because I'm a spoiled brat. Hello.
Yeah.
Like, I admit it, you know? I mean, I grew up, like, I was alone, the only child for 6 years. My brother was born pretty much almost on my birthday. So my parents felt bad. I was the only girl and he was the only boy. So we both got spoiled in our own ways for till I was 11. And then my sister came along and then, you know, I'm still me. So, you know.
But now you need the attention.
I still get what I want. You know?
Yeah. Did it create a problem for you when your sister was born?
No, because I got to name her.
Oh, really?
She was my little doll.
Yeah.
Yes. Because, you know, you play with baby dolls when you're like, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, whatever. And so I was like, oh, it's like a doll, but it came to life. It's cool. So I did. I used to dress her and walk her, and then I would make her say things, and it was, like, funny. You know, like, my mom would be like, oh, don't teach her that. I'm like, but it's funny.
Yeah.
You know, or, like...
I know.
She was so great, because she would listen to me. She was great. She would listen to me and then anyone else. Mm. You know, she looked up to me. So I'll be like, okay, go tell them this. Yeah. And it would be something, like, crazy, and she would say it. Hi, I thought that, like, I remember, like, we were...
Hold on, we got a phone call, maybe that's our guest. Good morning, you're on the air, go ahead.
Hi, is this Sam?
Yes.
Hi, it's Susanna Hoffs calling.
Good morning, Susanna, how you doing?
I'm doing well, great. Thank you.
Sure, I'm here with Brigetta also, who's
the
co-host. So,
hello.
We were reminiscing a little bit about the Bengals and stuff, and I told her how much I love you and your music. So,
thank you.
So I actually went after your publicist to get you to be on the show. So this is cool. It's very exciting. Where are you calling us from? Are you in L.A.?
I am in L.A.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
This is where you were born, right, and grew up?
Yes. I did. I grew up in L.A., and I love L.A.
Yeah, I know. From what I understand, you were just in Europe. Were you on a tour or something?
Yes, it was just sort of a collection of dates for the Bengals. We had some shows in Canada first, and then we went to Oslo and had a show there, and then we did this big festival in the U.K., at a place called Henley-on-Thames, really beautiful. It was called the Rewind Festival, so that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, sounds good. So you went there, what, before or after the Olympics?
After. We just missed the Olympics. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. So now you perform solo, obviously, but you still perform with the Bengals as well?
I do. I mean, mostly I've been performing with the Bengals. That's partly why it took me a long time to make this record that I just put out. But I do a little bit. I have over the years. It's been a long time. I had some solo records out in the 90s, and I did a lot of performing solo at that time. But it's been a long time since I've done that. So it's kind of, it feels very fresh when I do. I played a couple shows in L.A. last year, but just two, actually. So it's still feels very new to me.
Right. It's amazing you guys have kept in touch all these years, you know. I mean, there was a period of time you guys were not together, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the band formed, amazingly enough, through an ad in The Recycler, which is L.A. Sort of classified ads. I don't even know if it's still out there.
It's still here. It's still here.
It is. That's cool. So, and then we kind of had this whole 80s experience, starting from the very beginning of the 80s until the end of the 80s, where the band started, and we played clubs in LA, and there was this very cool club scene going on, that, you know, initially there was a really big punk movement happening, and then this rockabilly movement, and the Bengals kind of were at the beginning of a kind of a 60s influenced set of bands that were all doing shows together. People started calling us the Paisley Underground. And it was a really, really fun time to be in a band in Los Angeles. And from there, you know, we got on college radio, and we ended up getting signed to Columbia Records and put records out, and things just went from there. Prince was a big fan of the band, and he gave us Manic Monday, and that ended up being our first top 40 single. So we had a really great ride in the 80s, and then there was a period through most of the 90s where, you know, we just took time off, and I mean the band kind of fell apart at the end of 1989. But it was kind of like being married to each other for 10 years, because it was so busy for us. We were on this crazy schedule where once it got going, it just didn't stop. And I think everybody kind of needed a break, which was very good.
Yeah.
We went off and had families and children, and so It was actually very, very good that we had time apart.
Right.
That's great.
So now, so you're saying that before you guys met each other, you hadn't really known each other until you answered those ads in the recycler, right?
Yeah. Well, two Bengals who I met in through my ad in the recycler are sisters, so they knew each other.
Right.
They were in bands together since they were in high school, and so they had a very, the thing that bonded us was our passion for 60s music, because even though it was the 80s,
right,
and we just had this thing about the Beatles, you know, the Peterson sisters and I fell in love with the Beatles as little children, and we just kind of never got over that crush. It turned into a musical crush for us. So, and it's still kind of the template for everything for me. I mean, even with the stuff I'm doing on the Someday record, my new solo record, it's just, it always seems to go back to the 60s.
Yeah, and that's interesting, you know, because I was listening to it, and it's a little different from what you've done before.
And I told you 60s. Did I not just say that?
Yeah.
I did earlier.
Yeah.
I was like, it sounds like 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And really interesting material. I mean, obviously, it's not the same as the Bangles, but you've taken your own direction, and, you know, I liked the music. I liked your solo music in the 90s, like you mentioned. And
yes.
So you guys, the band broke up and stuff. When did you guys decide to get back together?
Well, it was sort of approximately, I want to say, 1998. Actually, I can remember that now very vividly as I think of it, because I was pregnant with my second child. So, yeah, it was 1998. And actually, my husband is a film director, and he did all the Austin Powers movies, and he was working on the second one. And I had been putting phone calls out to the different girls in the Bangles and trying to think about, could we get together? Could we meet? Could we talk? You know, could we think about doing music together? And so I had connected up with Debbie Peterson, our drummer, and then finally Vicki Peterson. We were all together at my house for the first time, and my husband walked in and said, I need a song for this scene in the new Austin Powers movie. And he put on a VHS cassette. That's what we had to look at back then. And he popped it in and showed us the scene. It was still a rough cut. And he said, I just haven't found the right song. And we just said, well, we can try to write one.
Right.
So we tried to write this song. We ended up writing a song called Get the Girl, kind of taking some lines from some of the stuff that Austin Powers says in the movie. And we did a little demo of it, and they said, you know what? This song works great. We needed a very up-tempo song. We were able to really kind of refine it to fit the movie, and that was the thing that kind of brought the Bangles back together.
Oh, wow.
So we have to credit, well, a little bit my husband, but Austin Powers too.
Yeah. Well, you have to credit your husband for a lot. I mean, to be married to someone like you, I think, is like every man's dream, you know.
He's a wonderful guy, really, truly a wonderful guy, and a great artist. And we are very lucky, especially in Hollywood.
Yeah.
We're heading towards 20 years of marriage.
That's
next
great.
Year.
Wow.
Yeah.
We've been together 20 years, so it's pretty crazy.
Wonderful. Well, like you said, you know, in Hollywood, if something like this happens, you're very fortunate, I think.
Yeah.
Now, what I wanted to ask you is, you know, we get a lot of artists here at the station and stuff, people that are trying to make it and everything. And, you know, there's just like thousands and thousands of people. Is this by fluke that you guys became so known, or is it something that's planned? I mean, is there like a secret?
Well, it's always some magical amount of luck. There's no doubt about it. But we were not plucked out. You know, it wasn't like some guy saw us on the streets and said, well, I'm going to make you girls stars. You know, it wasn't. We really did it by hard work and determination. Honestly, I mean, if there's a secret to it, it's not even a secret. It's just we never gave up.
Right.
Even when people were laughing us off, an all-girl band, this is a novelty, we just said, you're wrong, you know, what are you talking about? We just wouldn't take no for an answer, really. And we did it, you know, the grassroots way. We were not, you know, on a contest on TV, and it was really like we were just a hardworking band. Mm-hmm. That not to say that that isn't hard work being on those reality shows. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that we did it like the old-fashioned way, in a sense.
Right.
We would drag our amplifiers and drum kit and guitars up, into these, oh my God, these places. They were like these crazy rehearsal halls full of bands in Hollywood, very, very not glamorous places. Mm. And we would just work at it and work at it and work at it until finally we had, covers. We learned cover songs. Mm-hmm. And we started writing like crazy, and we started playing clubs, and we were terrible at first. We were terrible.
Really?
But you know what? It was just, we kept at it. We kept practicing. We kept playing. We would go on tours with, we opened for Cyndi Lauper. We opened for the English Beat. Mm-hmm. Really grueling tours where we would drive around the country in a van, and there'd be four of us in a room, plus we had a female roadie.
Mm.
And, we would be just driving all night long. It was crazy. But, we were young and we didn't care.
Right.
We had a lot of energy. So we were actually having a great time. But it wasn't exactly glamorous. I always say to people, the music business is not glamorous.
Right, yeah.
There isn't even really a music business anymore. But, I mean, the life of being in a band is, to this day, it's still kind of hilarious how there's an illusion about it. It's just not true. It's just, like everything else. It's just like being on a road when you're just going on a road trip. You're still pulling over to these places at the side of the road and trying to get something to eat and trying to deal with how not clean the bathrooms are and all that kind of stuff,
Yeah. So let's talk briefly about your new album. It's called Someday. And what is the, like I said, the music is 60s style and stuff. Like you said, you grew up with that and that's what you like. How long did it take to put this album together?
Oh, wow. Well, it actually was in my mind for something like 15 years to do it. So a title, Someday, kind of is pulled from one of the song lyrics, but it's also just, it was kind of like, someday my prince will come, someday I'll make a solo record, another solo record. So it was brewing in my mind for years, but the actual album came together so unexpectedly and so fast. Part, the initial impetus for it was that I started writing with this young songwriter from Nashville, and it's a long story, but I met him through my niece. He came to town. My whole family sort of adopted him as this great kid with a lot of ambition who had no place to live and wanted to start a life as a musician here, so we let him stay in our guest room at our house. So what happened was me getting distracted by all the Bengals stuff and being a mom, there was this person around singing songs and writing music in my house all the time.
Right.
We started to write together because I'd be like in the kitchen doing dishes and I'd be hearing him play guitar and I'd have like a melody in my head to go with the guitar thing, and I'd run in there and say, hey, wait a minute, let's make a song out of this. So we started writing songs. We wrote a bunch of songs in a very short period of time. And again, it was a good move on my part to let him stay in the guest room, because little did I know we would end up being able to write all these songs. So we wrote all these songs, and then we also happened to run into Mitchell Froom, who played on the Bengals' Manic Monday song and did all the keyboards on that record. We ran into him at Largo, this club in L.A. Actually, it's a theater now. And ran into Mitchell Froom. I told him that I'd written a bunch of new songs, and he ended up wanting to hear them. So the songwriting guy's name that I worked with is named Andrew Brazel. So Andrew Brazel and I went over to Mitchell's house, and we played him the songs just on our guitars.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I want to make a record with you guys. And then we ended up making the record. We cut all the tracks live with a band. So the record was done in like 2 weeks. And then we added all those string parts, and we had already figured out the arrangements, but we knew we wanted to do the 60s baroque pop sound because the songs were so melodic. It just made sense.
Yeah.
So it came together very fast. Once it got going, it just kind of fell into place.
Yeah. How cool, you know, I mean, to love music so much that you can actually express yourself and know that people love it and are seeking it out, you know, to listen to it.
So great.
Yeah.
I feel so lucky. So, so lucky.
Right. Well, you are, but you're very talented as well. And
thank you.
Actually, I wanted to, I discovered you did some covers also that are amazing. And so if people want to do, that's with Matthew Sweet, I believe.
Yes, definitely. And we're working on Under the Covers. That's what we call all the records. The first one is All 60s, Volume 1. All 60s, Volume 2, the 70s. And we're just recording. I was just at Matthew's all week recording for Volume 3, which is now the 80s. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I have a totally random question because my favorite song back in the day was Walk Like an Egyptian. I was only 8, but I used to walk around and, you know, do like the little dance. And I used to, I remember when MTV was popular and that was like my favorite video. And for whatever reason, I love Egyptian everything. So I was like, this is my favorite. How did that song come about? Was there something that inspired you to write it, or was it just like random?
Well, we didn't actually write it, but a friend named Liam Sternberg did. And it came about that it was during the period when we were on Columbia Records, and our producer, David Kahn, who now produces all the Paul McCartney records, he's really, really, really talented man, he had come upon this song, and I was up at the office listening to different songs with him getting ready to make the record, and he said, oh, check this out. And there was this really cool version of it sung by a woman named Marty Jones, and I just loved it. I thought, wow, that's really unusual. There's something so unexpected about it, all the quirky lyrics, and so we just for fun decided to record it, thinking that, you know, nobody would really notice it on the album. It was just kind of like we had a lot of like these pretty kind of mid-tempo songs, and then suddenly there was this Walk Like an Egyptian song that felt like a fun thing to record because it was very different, and it kind of gave the album a little fun, dancey kind of feel, which was very 80s anyway, to have the kind of interesting fun music. I think the 80s generally, if you look back, you think, oh, that was kind of a fun time for music. It was lighthearted. There wasn't a lot of like protest music going on. It was pretty good music to go to clubs and dance and stuff like that. So we had no idea that people would pick up on this song. It was the third single on the album.
Oh, wow.
You know, it was it the third? Yeah, because Manic Monday was the first single. If She Knew What She Wants was the second. Yes, it was the third single. And the record company put it out to the radio stations and said, you know what, we're just going to see what happens with this because it's so outside the box. It sounds so different from everything else that's going on right now. It's not, you know, an obvious single or anything. And what happened was the radio stations started getting requests, massive amounts of requests. So rather than putting it out there and giving up on it and you know, because they didn't want to spend a lot of money promoting it, it just kind of found its own life, and the audience discovered it. So it's one of those stories where the thing was just sitting out there all fall, but it kept building and building and building. And by the end of the year, it just held its spot at number one for weeks. It was so cool what happened with it.
Yeah. What a dream come true, you know, number one hit.
I know, and it was just amazing for us. And then it just caught on all around the world, so that's the song. I mean, Manic Monday sort of broke the doors open for us, but it was really Walk Like an Egyptian. I can remember that it's one of those things where you're starting to have success, but you don't really feel it. Nothing in your life has really changed, but things started to really change after that. Like, we went on tour in Europe, and we were playing this big music festival in Italy, and we were there, and we were realizing that Walk Like an Egyptian had gone to number one in the U.S., but it had started to go all the way around the world as a number one. You know, it just caught on.
Yeah.
And we were just so busy. We were just on the road all the time. We didn't even know what was going on. We get to Italy, and it was like Duran Duran, Spandau Ballet, Whitney Houston. All these people had convened on this small, beautiful place called San Remo for this music festival. And we're sitting there looking at all these other stars, and they're getting all these paparazzis chasing them around. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves in Italy, in San Remo, and there's a wall of photographers taking pictures of it.
Wow.
And we're just blinded by these lights, and we're going, what is happening? We're just this little band from L.A. What's going on?
Yeah.
And it was Walk Like an Egyptian. It had
wow.
just gone for one around the world, and suddenly the spotlight had turned on us, and it was, we got back to the hotel and was like, what?
Yeah.
Wow,
how do we
crazy.
Deal with that? Yeah.
Aww.
Well,
I'm glad you mentioned that song because it really did. It really changed everything, honestly.
That's
yeah,
so awesome.
It did. Now, if she knew what she wants, who wrote that one?
That one was a guy named Jules Shear, who's just this incredible songwriter. He wrote the song All Through the Night that Cyndi Lauper had a hit with.
Right.
And he's a wonderful artist, a singer-songwriter, and again, you know what? I think it was David Kahn. He had really good taste in music, our producer at the time. He was also a staff A&R guy at Columbia. And I'm still in touch with him. He lives in New York now, and like I said, he works on all the Paul McCartney records.
Mm.
So that's pretty cool because I know, you know, the Bengals, kind of the glue for the Bengals was, the musical glue, I should say, was our love for the Beatles and then meeting David Kahn, who also loved the Beatles, and then he went on to work with Paul McCartney, which is kind of a nice thing for him.
Right.
And pretty cool to have that association with, through David Kahn with Paul McCartney. That's really cool.
Right.
But yeah, Jules Shear wrote it. And we still perform all those songs to this day.
Yeah. And now, did you guys, the songs we discussed were written by other people. Did you guys write any hits yourselves, too?
Yes. Okay. I mean, I wrote Eternal Flame, which I was just going to say that after Walk Like an Egyptian had this incredible effect on our career, on the next album, I wrote a song called In Your Room and Eternal Flame.
Right.
And I wrote them with these friends of mine that I had gotten to know, you know, just during the 80s, and we started writing together, Billy Steinberg and Tom Kelly, their songwriting team. They've written so many amazing songs. I mean, Like a Virgin, Madonna had a hit with. They wrote True Colors, which was a big Cyndi Lauper hit.
Mm-hmm.
Loads of songs for Chrissy Hynde and all sorts of incredible artists. But anyway, we got together and we wrote these two songs, In Your Room and Eternal Flame. They ended up on the next Bengals album. The album was called Everything. It followed the album Different Light that Manic Monday and Walk Like an Egyptian were on.
Right.
And so it was just kind of amazing when songs that I had actually written with Billy and Tom ended up charting, and especially Eternal Flame became the same thing that happened with Walk Like an Egyptian. For whatever reason, that song, which at the time we were in the studio, our manager at the time came in and said, this song has no drums on it. It will never be a hit. he was wrong, but, you know, I was all, like, upset when I heard that. He said, you have to go in and put in drums. But I believed in the song. Even when I had this little teeny demo of it on a cassette, there was something about it. I thought the melody was, you know, really good, and it felt like this little lullaby, and it was coming from this heartfelt place, and it was like this little song that it's amazing that it survived the process, because initially I played it, we were working with a different producer at the time and for the band, and everyone said, oh yeah, that's cool, and then we just never recorded it. We were in the studio, and about halfway through the making of the record, I said, when are we going to record that song? And oh, yeah, that song, Eternal Flame. Oh, right.
Mm.
So we ended up recording it at the end of the process, only to be told by my manager that, it's not gonna work in the way that you did it. You should change it. We didn't change it. We left it as we recorded it. And then, was it the third single on that record? It was not the first single.
Mm.
I think it was at least, it was the second single, and it just clicked with people. Again, it was one of those things that sometimes it just happens that the audience, the listeners on radio stations, they just call in and request a song, and that's what happened with that song.
Yeah.
And when we just played at the UK, especially in Europe, that song, it was really like became this anthem for people. I don't know why, but it just stayed on the charts in Europe for a really long time. So when we were just in England playing, the entire audience was singing along to that song and hugging each other. And lighting their little lighters and, you know, doing the little eternal flames, and even with their iPhones holding up the apps of the little flames on the
app.
It was really cool. So it's just crazy when that happens.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I don't know why. It's just, and sometimes it's so, but with both of those songs, nobody really expected it. Mm. It, you know, it was like there was this, no, it really was like you just put it out there and then the audience connects with it. So you have to think that's a lucky moment in your life when that happens.
Yeah, I think that's very interesting when you don't know which song is going to be the hit, you know, and then sometimes
you really
it's the
don't.
One you don't expect, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Susanna, why don't you go ahead? You guys are still touring, right? Did you
yeah.
want to, where can people find out where you'll be and when?
Oh, on all the websites. I mean, all my shows. I have a whole tour booked for my solo tour
right.
to promote this album, and that's going to be mostly in November. But it's on www.susannahaas.com, or there's the dates up on my Facebook page, which is also with my name. I think it might say the official Facebook page for me, and there's a Bangles site. They're linked together. You can find the Bangles on my Facebook page and vice versa. But you can definitely go to my website to find out everything about both any show that I'm performing, whether it's solo or with the Bangles, will be listed there.
Right. Now, are you going to be performing in L.A. anytime soon?
Yes, I'm playing at Largo. Uh-huh. I just don't have the exact date nailed down, but it's in November.
Oh, okay, wonderful.
But go to the website, Largo. It's an incredible venue. I love going there. I've seen so many great people perform there. It's one of my favorites. And so, that's where I'll be.
Well, definitely. Well, I'm going to be there because I've always wanted to at least see
you
live, you know, so for sure. And so we'll let you go and we'll play a little bit of Picture Me after.
Fantastic.
After you hang up so people can get an idea of what the new music is like.
I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Okay, Susanna, anytime. And
thank
if you ever
you.
Have some extra time, we'd love to have you come in. So.
Absolutely.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
All right,
Susanna. We'll try to work on organizing that. Thank
awesome.
You so much.
Thank
absolutely.
You. All
thank
the
you.
Best to you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
She's
wow,
so cute.
I can't believe I just talked to Susanna Hoffs.
Aw, she's adorable.
Yeah, she is. And,
yeah.
you know, I mean, it's like, you know, regardless of what you think of the music, if you like it or not, you know, when someone's so into the music and into the artist, it's incredible when you can finally, you know, talk or meet them or what have you. You know, I mean, I'm sure you've had that a lot. You met a lot of celebrities and stuff, so you know what I'm talking about.
What do you mean? I am one.
Excuse me, okay. You are one. I can't forget that.
Yes.
Let's play just a minute or two of Picture Me, which is Susanna Hoff's new song, and just so you guys can get an idea on the album.
Pretty voice.
She does, man.
Really
I love
voice.
Her voice, and she's beautiful and cute and everything. And
she's adorable too.
Yeah.
I wish, like I was saying before, I was saying it. I told you it's 60s music. It's not really my thing. That one was okay. Her voice is so amazing. I wish she would, you know, I wish she could adapt to some of the pop music that's out now. Not poppy, I'm saying,
right.
but like to fit in with some of the stuff where a DJ could mix it into something. It could be awesome.
Right. Yeah.
If she
but
could,
you know what
I mean,
happens?
She'd be so popular with the new the new age group, you know,
right.
like this age.
But you know what I think is after you really make it big and stuff, you know, I think it's your opportunity to actually write
the
music.
Do whatever you want.
Yeah, that you want to write.
Because you were owned by the music industry for so long. I do understand that you were owned by the music industry for so long, but I'm just saying, like, times have changed, the music's changed, like, the sounds have changed.
Right.
To get the youth now and to still be popular now, given she's popular still with the older group, you know?
Exactly. Like, I don't think she's after the youth right now. I mean, she's
I'm saying
age,
she could still be after, because she's so great.
Yeah.
I think she'd be perfect to still go after the youth. If they were to write some kind of song or partner with somebody huge. And she's so known that she could easily partner with somebody, you know, nowadays and sing, you know, but have someone else write the song for now and have her sing on it.
Yeah.
She could blow up even more for this age group now.
That's
is what I'm
true.
Saying. So she'd be working both angles. Maybe she doesn't want to. You know, maybe it's just...
Yeah, I don't know if the kids really are interested in someone in their 50s doing music, you know. But but I'll bet you a lot of people still like the Bangles, you know. I mean, that was pop music and it was very popular at the time. Yeah, and that's the thing. Manic Monday was written by Prince.
Right.
And I knew that. And... So it's amazing that they picked them, you know, to do that. So, well, we got a phone call a couple minutes before. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Sam.
Hey.
Lucetta.
Hi.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Hey, Steve. I want to say that was a super interview with her, a major rock star from the past, and shows that they can still rock and roll all the way to the present.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
hopefully in the future.
Now, you wrote me on Facebook to wake you up.
I can really relate to how you feel in talking to her, because it is such a rush when you talk to a rock star like that.
Yeah, absolutely, and especially when you're a fan, you know. You're a big fan.
Right,
I've always been a big fan of hers. I've got her solo albums and everything, so... Yeah, so I'm glad you woke up for the show, because you wrote me on Facebook to give you a wake up call, and it just didn't happen, man. So I'm glad you got up.
Well, that's okay. I had other people make sure I got. I had a honey-do list a mile long from my wife before she took off to work. You know, I'm a retired guy now. I get to sleep in. So.
How cool, man! I envy.
And then when I wake up, I can. Tune in and listen to LA Talk Radio.
All right, man. We appreciate that, man. Steve has been listening for a long, long time, so we really love you, man.
And we had a major concert announcement here in St. Louis. Paul McCartney is coming to St. Louis, so isn't that cool?
Wow.
Cool.
That'll be cool. Are you going to go see him?
If I get lucky and come up
tickets.
With some cash for tickets,
That's
I know
true.
It's not going to be cheap.
Yeah, probably.
November 11th.
Wow, so sounds good, man.
We'll see you. Probably will sell out quick.
Yeah.
Well, great. You guys got a super show. You know, I always tell you that.
Thank you, Steve. We really appreciate that, man.
Absolutely.
And I'm not, you know, I heard Brigetta say about the slow song and being feeling old and everything. You know, when you get a little bit older, you might start liking some of those slower songs. Too.
I don't mind symphony music. I'm good with that. I like spa music.
Yeah.
But with anyone else, you know.
It's I mean, music is different tastes.
Yeah.
You know, people like different things, just like with food. You know, you can't argue about it.
You go through time, your listening, enjoyment, and pleasures change and evolve. Right. Mine have big time. If I look back when I was younger, what I used to listen to, oh my gosh.
You're right. Right. Absolutely.
But I still revisit that too, though.
Yeah.
But I know you got other things to talk about. I just wanted to shout out and say it was super.
Yeah, actually, we got to run, man, because the time is up.
Okay.
But thank you so much, Steve.
Yeah.
Take care.
Totally.
Bye.
Bye.
So, okay, well, we're out of time. Brigetta, thank you for being patient with me, even though the music is not quite to your liking.
Well, I know I loved her when I was little.
Yeah.
I loved Walk Like Egyptian.
It's
Manic
okay.
Monday.
It's okay. We get it. You like her.
Yeah.
You just don't like slow music. I totally relate to it.
I appreciate her voice is beautiful.
It's amazing.
I wish she could adapt to a song today, because I would be all about it.
Okay.
So if you're listening,
maybe she'll work on it.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
All right,
Brigetta. Have a great weekend. Go get some rest. Everybody, thank you all for joining us and listening. We always appreciate that. And I always forget, guys, please go to our Facebook page and like it, okay? Because we have so many listeners, but I never ask anybody to go to the page, so we don't have a lot of likes on there. So please help us out. And so everybody have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
You've been listening.
listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigetta is an L.A. Talk Radio production where we say what we want.